In a few moments, we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper. Are there any here who do not currently have the fruit of the vine and the bread? Raise your hand and we'll get that to you. Excellent. Hope you'll stick with me. We're going to seem like we're a little off subject here to start off. But we're going to get this to the subject of the Lord's Supper here in a second. In the Old Testament, God set the priests as a special people. They were different than the rest of the nation in that they did not get land quite like the rest of the nation did. But when they invaded and they conquered the promised land, God did give the priests their own little sections, cities, and the surrounding areas. And there were rules regarding this land, and that was that that land was to stay with them. Every now and then something might come up where they would have to sell their piece of land. They would have to give it away. But it was dictated by God. It needed to come back. It always had to come back. Now, it would come back at the year of Jubilee. It would be returned. But there was also a time in which the people could redeem it. This is described for us in Leviticus chapter 25, and it actually applies both to land and to people. That they would have the opportunity to buy back their own land for their family. So if we look at verses 31, and this is really starting in the middle, but it says, "The houses of the villages, however, which have no surrounding wall, shall be considered as open fields. They have redemption rights and revert in Jubilee. As for the cities of the Levites have a permanent right of redemption for the houses of the cities which are their possession. What therefore belongs to the Levites may be redeemed, and a house sale in the city of this possession reverts in the Jubilee, for the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the sons of Israel." And then down in verse 47, he starts talking about the idea of people being able to be redeemed. It says, "Now if the means of a stranger or of a sojourner with you becomes sufficient, and a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to him as to sell himself to a stranger who is sojourning with you, or to the descendants of a stranger's family, then he shall have redemption right after he has been sold. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or one of his blood's relatives from his family may redeem him, or if he prospers, he may redeem himself." So this rule goes for both individuals or the land. If you had to give it away to somebody else, that was your land, you had the right to buy it back. If you had to enslave yourself, say, "I don't have the money, I can't pay you back, I'm going to have to be an indentured servant," you or your relatives had the right to buy you back. This situation comes up in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah is a priest, and his cousin comes to him and says, "Jeremiah, you have the right to redemption. There's a piece of land, and it falls to you. You have the right to buy this land." And so you see it in verse 7. Verse 6, it says, "Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, is coming to you, saying, buy for yourself my field which is at Anathoth, for you have the right of redemption to buy it." So this piece of land belonged to their family, and then it was not. Somebody else had it. And so Jeremiah's cousin comes to him and says, "You can fix this. You can bring it back into our family if you will pay for it." And so as we follow through, what happens is Jeremiah agrees to this, and he pays for this land. And that is really a very peculiar thing. And even Jeremiah finds it a little peculiar, because after he does it, what happens in verse 16, so he prays to God. And if you skip down to verse 25, the end of this prayer, he says, "You have said to me, O Lord God, buy for yourself the field with money and call in witnesses, although the city is given into the land of the Chaldeans." He bought a piece of land for his family to get it back. But Jeremiah's message to all the people was, get ready, we're about to lose. The Chaldeans are coming to attack us. They are going to wipe us out. And then God's told him to buy some of the land. What a peculiar thing to do. If I told you that this land is going to be destroyed by earthquake, volcano, fire, or whatever, how many of us would say, yes, I'd like to buy the land that's about to be destroyed? But that's what Jeremiah does. And then he asks, why did I just do that? Well, God had actually already told him. With buying the land, there was also going to be a deed, a signed document. And if you go back to Jeremiah 32, back to verse 10, I signed and sealed the deed and called in witnesses and weighed out the silver on the scales. Then I took the deeds of purchase, both the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions of, and the open copy. And I gave the deed of purchase to Barak, the son of Neriah, the son of Meshiah, in the sight of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the sight of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase before all the Jews who were sitting in the court of the guard. And I commanded Barak in their presence, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, this sealed deed of purchase, and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, that they may last a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts and the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land. They were about to be conquered by the Babylonians. They were going to be taken into captivity. All of the people were going to be wiped out. The land was not going to be owned by any of them. But Jeremiah bought some of it. He paid the price. And God says, basically, keep the receipt. Keep the receipt so that when the 70 years comes up and people are coming back, they can find this jar, and inside the jar they can find this document that says the price has been paid, the land is Jeremiah's family's. So that's the result. The price was paid. Jeremiah owns that land. Separate from the price, this piece of paper, this document, it was not the price. It wasn't the payment. It was the proof of payment. It was, if you will, the receipt to show that it was paid for and it was rightly his. And this relates to us and what we're about to do. We were gods, owned by him, belonging to him. And we went astray. And we became Satan's. And we needed to be redeemed, to be bought back. And yet the scripture shows with great clarity that's exactly what Jesus did. We have been redeemed. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. This is a change of ownership, a reversion. We're going back to the Lord's. It says, if you address his father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So here we have been redeemed. We were over in Satan's hands, and now we've been paid for. And it wasn't with money or silver or gold. It was with something much more valuable, something much more precious. It was with the blood of Jesus. And put this a different way, we've been bought and paid for. We are, once again, the Lord's. In Revelation chapter 5, in this scene of heaven, where this lamb comes forth and is able to take the seal that nobody else in the world could take and nobody could open. And everybody starts rejoicing. Here's what they rejoice about. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And so here he is, they're saying that these people now have been bought, you and I have been bought by the blood of Jesus. That's the payment. The Lord's Supper is the receipt. The Lord's Supper is that signed document that says we belong to him. The payment has been made, and we are now his. And now, even decades, centuries, millennia later. We partake of the Lord's Supper, and it is this declaration, this reminder, I have been paid for. I am the Lord's. I belong to Him. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember the payment, the real payment, which was Jesus on the cross. It was that blood being shed. And we remember our redemption. And we remember and we declare, I am His. Let us partake of the Lord's Supper.